I'm just going to trust God. And I feel led to preach this morning. After what I've heard, some things that I've seen this morning, I feel led to preach. We'll come back to the offering a little bit later. Might be 2 o'clock. I don't know. I want to mind him. I sit right there and God said, I want you to preach. But Lord, we ain't received the offering yet. God said, I want you to preach now. Lord, the children ain't got to sing yet. I want you to preach right now. Got to mind him. The devil said they're going to leave while you're preaching. They ain't going to give the offering. Children not going to get to sing. You're leaving them out. God said, you preach. Don't you worry about anything else. I want to preach this morning on the love of God. I was down at the post office praying this morning. Yeah, I was. Post office this morning. It wasn't open, don't worry. But I asked God that He'd help me deliver the mail. And I received some while I was there. And I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. I'll try to be obedient. 1 Kings chapter 3. And preacher, all things is all messed up this morning. Ain't that good? The devil never saw that coming, did he? 1 Kings chapter 3. And preached out of these verses a couple of months ago. On the wisdom. And the wisdom asked him. Primarily it is about God manifesting His wisdom to a king. But it's also a love story. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in one half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Father, we thank you for the word of God. God, how we desire to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God, you've done it once more. God, now it's time for us to stand and preach because you said so. Lord, I pray for you to help us this morning by the power of God to stand and preach the word of God. I pray somebody would see truth in this building that apply it to their life. God, might be somebody here walked in, not saved. You're dealing with them. God, I pray you'd save them before this day is over. God, I pray for the backslider that they'd be reclaimed for the glory of God. I pray, Father, for the church member this morning that needs to repent. God, I pray, Father, you'd help us. Lord, we love you, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to sit this morning. Appreciate you being here. The first time the word love is in the Word of God. It is found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, where it says, God speaking, he says to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You know, he told him to go up on Mount Moriah and sacrifice that boy. That's the first time love is in the Word of God. It's not necessarily the love of God, but is the love of a parent. You might say it is parental love. Then again, when I think about it, God's love is greater than parental love because He is a Father. And we are His children. All of you this morning, you every one of you that are here, you are the child of someone. Amen. You had a mama, that's for sure, and a daddy, no doubt about it. And I want to say this morning, paternal love is a reflection of God's love. And when I read these verses, here we find a woman who loves her child, and who loves her child dearly. Now I want to say in these verses, there's a great contrast between pure love and pretend love. I want to talk first of all about this pure love, this pure paternal love, this love that this mother had. And I want to say first of all this morning, we find the supremacy of love. A, her love covered her sin. As a child growing up, my Sunday school teacher would teach us these verses. Every year seemed like we'd go back over these verses. And it would always bless me to learn these verses. And later on in life, if we sat down and really began to study and even deeper and dig in the Word of God, it came to us that this mother who gave her child up to the other, or was willing to give her child up to the other woman, that the child might live, that this woman, in fact, both of them were harlots. And in fact, I got so caught up in the fact that she loved her child as a mother, so willing to give it up, that I completely forgot about her being a harlot. You might see that I got caught so up in her love that I forgot about her sin. You see, love will cover a multitude of sins. Ain't you glad for that this morning? Not only did her love cover her sin, but her love convinced her judge. She woke up in the night early. She grabbed a hold of the baby that was in her arms that she had, and that baby was dead. She wept much. She looked over and saw her friend there playing with a baby and bouncing it on her knee, and how happy that she was when all of a sudden she noticed that the child in her arms was not her child. Her child was the one bouncing on her so-called friend's knee. And she recognized that and said, hey, I've got your baby and you've got mine. And this other woman said, are you crazy? That's your baby. You killed your baby. This is my baby. And this woman could do nothing with her. She probably went out and found a magistrate or some deputy or some sheriff or some type of authority, and begin to tell that she was the victim of a heinous crime that had happened. But no one would believe this woman that their childs were swapped during the night. And finally, she kept pressing and kept pressing through court after court after court till it finally came to the highest court in the land, the court of the king, King Solomon. And she steps before him and she tells her story once more again. The other woman is there and refutes her story. And Solomon sits and says, I don't know which woman's telling the truth. We don't have any DNA ability to find out which child belongs to which mother. He said, there's only one way that I know, and let's take a sword and chop that baby in two and give this mother half and give this other mother half. And the Bible says down here in verse number 26 that when he made that statement that the one woman who's the living child was her son, that she began to yearn in her bowels and she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. The other woman said, let it divide it right here and now.
You might say that that one woman whose child was the living child, her love convinced her judge. Because when she said, do whatever it takes to let that child live, Solomon knew immediately, the Bible says, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Do you know how he knew? Love had convinced the judge whose the living child really was. Never forget the story of the man that was raised in the Catholic Church. He had committed a public sin and had not come to confess, and everybody knew. And the priest went to see him and said, if you don't confess your sin, we're going to excommunicate you out of the church. He said, go ahead. They kicked him out of church and said, from now on, you are cursed of God. This man went on his whole life living a life, knowing and believing that he was cursed of God. He lived a terrible life. One night at the door, on a Thursday, came a knock. And the woman of the house opened the door and said, yes. And she said, I'm the Baptist preacher from just down the street. We've come to invite y'all to church. We've been praying that God would bless your family. We're going to ask you to come to the church. And she said, hold on a minute. She yelled, honey, the Baptist preacher's here. He said, send him away. I've been cursed by God. We're not interested. Preach left. Next Thursday night, he come knocked again. Who's that? I'm the Baptist preacher from just down the street. We've been praying for y'all. She said, honey, the Baptist preacher's here again. He said, send him away. We're cursed of God. And weeks went on, Brother Shane, and he kept going every week, knocking. I mean, they even knew what time he was going to come. They could set their watch by him. And finally, one week he didn't come because he was sick, and they missed him, knocking on the door. But every week they turned him away. Till finally one night he knocked on that door again. And he said, I'm the man of God from just down the street. And God has sent me to speak to you about your soul. And the wife answered that door. She said, honey, the man of God has come to speak with us. He laid back down on the couch. He said, but for some reason, he said, this time I heard her say, man of God, man of God, man of God. God wouldn't send a man down here to speak to me unless God cared for me, unless God loved me. Maybe I'm not cursed of God after all. He said, send him in. I'd like to talk to him. The man of God came in and sat down with that man and his wife. And they both called the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. You know what convinced them? It was love that convinced them, amen, that they needed to be saved. Hey, love will convince the judge, amen. Let me go a little further. Love conquered her foe. Let me ask this question. How is this mother of the living child going to get her child out of the arms of that other woman? She might have tried to wrestle her. She might have tried to pry her away, that baby away from that woman with a crowbar. She tried every law. She tried every court. What could wrestle that baby out of her arms? What could take her baby out of the arms of the foe? Love. When she stood before the judge and expressed her love, the judge, the mighty king, said, you have been conquered, and give that child to its rightful mother. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You want to know what's going to make the change with your enemy? The one you keep fighting against and wrestling against? And I tell you what's going to make the change? When you love them! When you love them! They will respond to love eventually. A man saw an Arab on an airplane. They were flying side by side. He recognized, man, this might be a terrorist we got in the sky with us over here. He looked over at him and began to talk to him. And the Arab finally said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. He said, I am a Muslim. He said, I'd like to talk to you about that. And the Muslim said, I'd like to talk to you about that. And they landed in the airport there and they went and got him some lunch together. And the Christian said to him, said, I want to tell you about the love of God. And that Muslim said, I've heard about the love of your God. And he said, I've long wondered why under the rulership and leadership and the authority of Muhammad, that we go out and kill people and commit violence and hatred and terrorism, all in the acts of religion. Yet for some reason, all the Christians do is tell about love. And he said, oh, it's because the one that we serve went to a cross and gave his life a ransom for our sins, and that we might be saved. And on the third day was raised again. And right there in that old airport, amen, that Arab got down on his knees and said, I want to call on your God to be my God. Your Jesus to be my Jesus. Do you know what convinced that Arab? It was love that convinced him. And I say this morning to you, there is a supremacy of love. Second of all, this morning, I see the selflessness of love. Love says this, what can I do for you? For God so loved the world that He gave. He said, I am going to do something for you. Let me say, A, love is faithful towards its object. I mean, how many times did this woman have to appear before an attorney or before a judge or some magistrate? How many depositions did this woman have to give? We are not told. How many personal attacks did she have to go through? But I'll say this, this woman took it as far as she could take it. She's unwilling to give up on that boy. You know why she won't give up on that boy and just let it go? She loves him. If you love, I mean pure love, you won't give up. If you love, I mean pure love, you will be faithful. This woman was faithful to her son. Isn't it amazing that in these days and times that even harlots love their babies? But what about our society with the abortions we're committing? And with the garbage dumps that are full of babies that's going on today? I want to say that love feels for its object. You realize that this woman, the Bible said that her bowels, the Bible says that they yearned upon her son. You know why? It was overwhelming to this mother, the thought of her son being harmed. Think about Jesus there. He had compassion on the multitude. He was moved towards them. Why? Because they were as a sheep having no shepherd. He loved them. Let me say, C, love will forfeit its own good for the good of its object of affection. This mother said, if you'll let the child live and not divide it in two, I'll live the rest of my life lonely. I'll live the rest of my life grieving and sorrowful. If you'll just give my boy a chance, even if he lives with somebody else, it's better than him dying. She said, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for the good of my son. Isn't it amazing how love works like that? I'm talking about pure love. Let me say thirdly, when I compare the supremacy of love and the selflessness of love, hey, may I say that's paternal love, that mother. I think about the love of God. The supremacy of the Savior's love. Let's just take this story, and I see the Savior all over it here. You see two women that were harlots, but I see the Savior all over it. His love has covered my sin. Not my love for Him, but His love for me, and His love for you, and His love for you has covered your sins. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, for His great love wherewith He loved us. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His begotten Son that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He says in Romans 5:8, but God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, the love of Jesus in shedding His blood has covered our sins. That's the supremacy of love. His love has convinced my judge. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. As he sits there, 1 John 2:1, will you turn there with me this morning? You got to see this verse. 1 John 2:1, I'm almost done, I promise. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, if your Bible that you have in your hand, if it's one of them New International Versions, if it says that He is our defense, let me say something to you right here. He is not. No, no, no. He's not a defense lawyer. What a defense lawyer does is a defense lawyer tries to convince the judge that you didn't do it. But the King James Bible says we have an advocate. An advocate will stand with you whether you're right or wrong. He takes your burdens upon Himself. When the Father says He sinned, the advocate says, you're right, He has. He doesn't try to say, oh no, He didn't. No, let's find a loophole there. No, the advocate says, you're right, He did. But He puts His arm around them. He says, but I love them. And I shed my blood to forgive them. And I did forgive them. And the judge says, forgiven? Yep. Case dismissed. Lack of evidence. Praise God that His love has convinced my judge that I go free. His love conquered my foe. The devil had me in his clutches. My daddy and mama couldn't do anything to get me away from the devil. I mean, they could try to go to court and do all they could do, but I was put in all the right situations, but I still made the wrong moves. I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I found out that the devil I was running with didn't really care for me. He wanted to divide me. He wanted to destroy me. He wanted to devour me. He said, cut him in two. I don't care. Let him die. I could care less. But when I heard about Jesus, who said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly, boy, that got my attention. And when I got under the love of God, the devil had to let me go, because greater was He, hallelujah, that was working in that situation than the one who had a hold of me. Amen. Love has conquered my foe and let me go. Let me think next of all about the selflessness of the Savior's love. His love is faithful towards me. Brother Dustin, when I've been unfaithful to Him, He's been faithful to me. He's never ever let me down. He's always been there. And you know what? He wasn't willing to give up on me either. He said, I'll take it to the highest court in the land. I'll go see God the Father who sits on a holy throne, and I'll stand before Him on your behalf. Hallelujah. He said, I'll be with you through thick and thin. I'll always love you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. No matter how bad it gets, no matter when mom and dad says, we can't handle it no more, we can't love you no more, I'm telling you what, Jesus will still love you. Hallelujah. His love is faithful towards its object. That's me. He loves me. I got news for you, sister. He loves you, glory to God. And He's faithful. Not only is His love, but His love feels for me. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, the feelings of our infirmities. But His heart is broken when my heart is broken. When I'm down weeping, He's there trying to console and comfort me, and weeps tears of mercy and tears of compassion with me and for me. I say to you, what offends you offends God. Yes. I want to say this morning, you hear me, He loves you and He feels for you today. He feels the sickness, the pain of your sickness. He feels the pain of your betrayal. He feels the burden of your prayers. He said, I want you. You can't bear them, but I want you to cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. You know what that is? That's love. Hallelujah. His love, glory to God, feels for me. His love forfeits for my good. He said, I'm going to come to earth And I'm going to put man, fallen man, sinful creatures, I'm going to put them first before me. Before the King of all glory, before His royal righteousness and His innocence, He said, I'm going to put sinners first. And I'm going to go to that cross, and I'm going to give my life that they might be saved. He cried on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the Father and Son were separated, He did that, y'all, so we'd never be forsaken. That's love. He sacrificed Himself. I close this morning by saying this. There is a contrast we mentioned between pure love and pretend love. This child was ready to be divided, and the real mother said, let her have the baby. The other woman said, go ahead and divide it. Half for me and half for you. And as far as I'm concerned, half a baby is as good as a whole baby. But that real mother let her child go. Let me say, the devil don't love you like he says he does. He's just pretending. He's perfectly satisfied to watch you bleed and die this morning. But Jesus loves you like no one else could ever do. You know, fellas, last time I checked, real love ought to be satisfying. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I need not look for another. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But I wonder, is He satisfied with me? Let's flip it just a second. And I showed you how much He loved us. Pure love, not pretend love. What does Jesus get from you? Does He get part of you? Half of you? Sections of you? From time to time when it's convenient? Or does He get all of us? What little are you giving or doing for Jesus? Is the woman who pretended to love the Lord a lot like we are? Huh? For she pretended to love her baby, are we pretending to love the Lord? Can I say this morning, God's love wants everything we are. It's funny, this morning we didn't receive an offering yet. But there might be somebody here saying, I ain't got no money to give. But you've got a life, friend. A living, breathing soul. And He loved you purely. And He wants you to love Him purely. And I want to say to Bethel, oh, it's been good to be here. It's a bit unusual this morning. God saved a precious soul, glory, hallelujah, by His pure love. But somehow I wonder if some of us don't sit here and we're just giving Him part of us. But it's convenient. We need to run to an altar and say, God, I pretended a lot of times. I ain't pretending anymore. God bless you, sir. I ain't pretending no more. I want to slip down that altar and I want to respond to His love that convinced the judge. I want to run down there and I want to give Him the victory on bended knee with a bowed heart. Oh, I just want to say this morning, I love Him and thanking Him for first loving me. That's all I want to do this morning. If you'd stand to your feet. You'd stand to your feet. Someone, you'd come play on the instruments. He might be somebody say, I don't want to pretend. I don't want to counterfeit. I want to run down there to that altar and I want to thank Him for saving me. I want to thank Him for being faithful. I want to thank Him for not giving up on me. You may think you'll get away from Him. You're not getting away. He's not going to give up on you. And our God who does not give up, you won't get away from Him. I don't care how far you run, how low you sink. God's not going to give up on you. He's faithful. You'd come this morning. Folks are bowing all over the building. You'd come this morning. He said in the Scripture, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Not part of us, but all of us. Could you worship today and thank Him for perfect love, pure love? Thank You for the supremacy and the selflessness of the Savior's love, who was willing to give his own life, to forfeit everything he was, to put me first that I might be saved, that this congregation might be saved, that that young lady this morning, God, might be saved. God, you're still willing to draw her to yourself. God, I thank you for what you've done. And God, this morning as we bow this altar, Lord, we're not going to stand up here and pretend to be something we're not. God, it seems like we've not given you all. We've not given you everything. But God, as we bow before you this morning, Lord, we ask you that you'd forgive us. We're not trying to say we never did it. We're not trying to say we're innocent. God, we bow before you as guilty. And we ask this morning, God, according to your love, in your perfect and pure mercy, God, would you look down and see us stand with our advocate and beg forgiveness. Lord, I stand with the mercy of the court, thanking you for your pure love and asking you, God, to forgive us of our selflessness and the way we act and the way we run around, God, this morning, Father. We bow saying, Lord, we repent, we repent, we repent. And God, we plead this morning. We plead that, God, you'd save that sinner that fears hell. God, we plead you'd touch the backslider. You'd reclaim them. Help them to be faithful to read. Help them to be able to study the Word of God faithfully. Seeking your face in prayer. Attending your house faithfully, God. Doing what they know to do faithfully in their life. Oh, God, this morning, Father, we love you because you first loved us. And we thank you, God, for the love of God that saw fit to rescue us. Thanking you for that this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.